Why, hello everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Nerd Tweet and Movie Podcast. Thank you so much for stopping by. I know I haven't been as active as I have as of late, but there's quite a few reasons for that, which we'll get into another time. But today, I want to talk about The Flash. We're going to talk about The Flash because for me, I really wish that I could say that I can just watch this movie and be okay with it, because I can't. And I really feel like, at least now, there are more people in this camp, because initially, I was hearing all sorts of things like, you have to go see it, support all the people who helped make the movie. Well, I'm sorry, they already got paid. The success of this movie is not going to affect the boom operator's ability to be hired again. Okay, let's get that out the way. I mean, if the movie was recorded, they're not going to have any issues getting work. Okay, the only people that this is going to affect will be the people who would be looking at the bottom line, and that would be the higher ups at WB, Discovery, whatever you want to call them at this point. My issue is far more in depth than just because it's Ezra Miller. First of all, I'm gonna get this out the way. I thought he was a horrible casting for the Flash in the Justice League. He is not who. There is nothing that screams Barry Allen with that guy, to me at least. Now, I attributed that to the writing of the Justice League, that they kind of made the original plot of the Justice League that we saw in theaters because it got destroyed by Joss Whedon. That version, I thought, was probably the worst rendition of The Flash I've ever seen. Granted, there aren't many renditions of The Flash, so it's not like there is a lot that we can pull from, which I understand, which is fair. But I didn't. I just thought he was a terrible casting from the get-go. So him being the Flash is not a draw for me to go see the movie whatsoever. It's actually a negative from the day one, even before all the crazy things that he did. And I'm not going to go into detail and list all of the things that he's done, the heinous crimes that he has been either accused of, arrested for, or pled guilty to. That's irrelevant to my point. Yes, it is a talking point that having an actor like Ezra Miller as your main character for this amazing new version of the DC universe that you're claiming it's going to be, saying that it's one of the greatest comic book movies of all time, it very well may be, but I probably won't ever find out. I can tell you 100% certainty I will not pay to see it in the theaters. Now, when it comes to seeing it on like HBO Max, I won't lie, I probably will end up looking at it there because I'm already paying for that service. Hell, I watched Black Adam and Shazam Fury of the Gods because it was there, because I've already paid for the service because of other things that I want on there. So to me, they're not getting any additional money from me. So even though I might view it on HBO Max, like I said, I have HBO Max not for that. I have it for, you know, things like Big Bang Theory and Until the Writers Strike, the John Oliver, wow, it's been so long. Last Week Tonight. Wow, I almost forgot the name of the show because it's been so long since it's been on. That was my number one draw, 100%, is the John Oliver, Last Week Tonight. That's my number one reason for HBO Max. But I will not, no matter how good it allegedly is. And again, that's up for debate. I've seen, you know, initially people were reporting, oh, it's the greatest comic book movie of all time. Well, if that's the case, then why are the opening box office not showing that? Could be because of people like me who just refuse to see it no matter what. Which is also fair. I'm not here to debate any type of reasoning why the Flash isn't doing well. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But I just wanted to mention it, that it isn't doing well, because it does play, the numbers play into what I will say as the reason why I won't see it. So the Flash opening, 3-day opening weekend made $60 million. For reference, Black Adam took in $43 million. Multiverse of Madness took in $187 million. Those are just two movies that didn't come out this year that you can compare Flash to, because Black Adam is obviously DC and Multiverse of Madness is a multiversal movie like this Flash movie apparently is. But let's look at some movies that were released this year that it beat. Okay, Creed 3 beat it out by just $2 million. Creed 3 made $58 million. Scream, the new Scream movie, $44 million. Dungeons & Dragons, $37 million. Shazam! Fury of the Gods made $30 million. Evil Dead Rise, $24 million. Cocaine Bear made $23 million. And Puss in Boots, The Last Wish, made $12 million. But I want to have a little caveat with the Puss in Boots. It only made $12 million opening weekend, but it ended up making $185 million domestically. So I just wanted, the reason why I even included it is because just because it doesn't have a good opening weekend doesn't mean it's not going to make money. You know what I mean? To go from $12 million opening domestically to $185 million domestically, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it made $500 million worldwide, Puss in Boots. So again, I'm not saying that because Flash opened with $60 million that it's a complete utter failure. That's not necessarily true. People might go see it next weekend. You know what I mean? They might see it could have a long run in theaters and therefore make up some of that money. And who knows how that's going to go when it goes to the other countries, because they probably don't have as high a anger level at Ezra Miller as we would, the way that we watch our celebrities. I feel like, you know, places like China and maybe even Canada, like any country that's not as obsessed with the influencers and things like that, probably wouldn't really even care what he did. But while it's only made $60 million, let's look at some movies that did very well opening weekend. You got Mario, made $146 million its opening weekend. Saw that was fantastic. Avatar, The Way of the Water, $134 million. Okay, now this is a good point. Avatar is on HBO Max and Disney Plus, which I pay for both. And I don't, I have not watched it, and I have no interest to watch it. That movie does nothing for me. I watched the Avatar, the first one, recently, and it's okay. I mean, it looks great, don't get me wrong, but it's literally just a retelling of Pocahontas. It's nothing special. Like, it's not a good telling either. It's just a standard. Like, there's nothing special about that movie, really. Besides the how good and stunning it looks, which is fair. You know, that's fair. You can, if that's the reason why you're seeing it, then by all means, I'm not judging you for that. But I have no interest to see that, really. Spider-Man Across Spider-Verse, $120 million. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, $118 million. Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, made $106 million, and a lot of people hated that movie, okay? John Wick 4 made $73 million. Fast X made $67 million, and a lot of people are complaining about that too, okay? And then Transformers Rise of the Beast, again, another movie people are complaining about, made $61 million. Those all beat this, The Flash, okay? The executives at DC and everyone who's pushing this movie, it's like, come on, how are you not going to go see this? It's The Flash, one of the most iconic superheroes of all time, which is true. How are you not going to see this? Michael Keaton is in it, playing Batman again. He may just be the best Batman ever. For the record, he always was. I'm sorry. I enjoy the Nolanverse, and I enjoy almost every rendition of Batman. I even don't mind George Clooney as Batman as much as most people probably do. It wasn't great, but I'm not like, George Clooney, whatever. You know what I mean? It's fine. But Keaton has and might always will be the best Batman for a long time now. So now that they're like, oh, come see the greatest Batman ever. I mean, okay, that's great. Cool. Come see all of this multiversal stuff. Sounds interesting. Cool. But you still have Ezra Miller at the set, as the main character. And with what he's done, I don't think that movie should have been scrapped. Or, you know, since the majority of it was CGI anyways, and apparently horribly done CGI, so it apparently wasn't even completed as released, which makes no sense to me. This is what you're banking. Like, you're talking about how this movie is supposed to be one of the greatest comic book movies of all time, and you didn't even finish the CGI? What? That makes no sense. Okay, and then when you look at the fact that Ezra Miller is just as bad as he, like, and also have him on the red carpet, it's like, really? Like, this guy is, like, basically, for all intents and purposes, a monster, you know? And you're going to, because you know that it's a possible big-time moneymaker, because it's The Flash, it's Michael Keaton, it's everything everyone wanted, you're going to push it through. But you cancel the Batgirl movie. You cancel the Batgirl movie because apparently it wasn't good enough to be released. It was 100% complete and you only spent $90 million. Granted, I know, me saying only $90 million just kind of sent a chill up my spine. But in terms of making a superhero comic book movie, $90 million ain't shit. Okay? That's nothing. And you canceled that, scrapped it 100% because it was not watchable or whatever, and you use it as a tax write-off. So you're going to sit there. You're going to sit there and tell me that this movie, because it's so good, gets to come out with that piece of crap as its star, but a Batgirl movie led by Leslie Grace, who, honestly, at first I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. I have very little problem with race swaps in most renditions. The ones that bother me are usually the ones that make no sense geographically speaking, like when there are white people in a movie about Egypt. I mean, I'm Jewish, and I know the history. We weren't white back then. I'm just, you have an Egyptian god as a white dude. I'm sorry, not happening. That's incorrect. I'm sorry. But to have a black Batgirl, there is absolutely nothing about the character that makes her have to be white at all. The only thing I'm a stickler for is when they do a race swap and they don't keep the hair. Like MJ in the Spider-Man movies, the new ones with Tom Holland, I initially was very upset because I have no problem with Mary Jane being black. Zero. But she has to have red hair. Now, this version is not MJ, Mary Jane Watson, you know, so it's different. So it's 100% fine. But like, I was very upset. Like when Ariel was announced as black, I had zero issues with it. I'm like, is she gonna have red hair? And I don't like how her hair is not very red. That is the only reason why I don't like that. You know, those are the things that are important to the character. Then it matters. You know, like, you can't have, like, the same reason why there can't be a white T'Challa. It's just, the Black Panther would not be white. Simple as that. But, like, Deadshot in the Suicide Squad, Will Smith playing him, there's no reason why that can't happen. Zero. It's not, there is nothing integral to the character, integral, however you want to say it, that makes him have to be white. You know what I mean? Like that, those are the type of swaps that I have zero issue with. I would just, if the character has red hair, give her red hair. That's all. I mean, like Ariel, one of the most like things about Ariel is that she has this like flaming red hair. That like, excuse me. That's the biggest thing about the character for me that says it's Ariel. If she's a mermaid with red hair, I'm going to think she's Ariel. I don't care. color, race, ethnicity. It could be blue for all I care. If I see a mermaid with red hair, I'm going to immediately think it's Ariel. Doesn't, you know, so it, a lot of people were upset about Leslie Grace playing Batgirl because she wasn't white for whatever reason. That there should be no problem with that at all, at all. But and this movie also had Michael Keaton as Batman, J.K. Simmons as James Gordon. But what I, and this is more petty than any more real, any real reasoning that we'll get into in a second, but we missed out at, from, we lost Brendan Fraser as Firefly. Brendan Fraser as a villain. This godly actor that has been amazing since he broke in. I mean, go look at the filmography of Brendan Fraser and tell me he's not one of the best actors, not maybe not talent wise. You can argue that's a whole different argument, but in terms of putting on great movies or entertaining movies, at the very least, come on, yo, just go look. I mean, he is next level, and then he's finally getting rewarded. Got the, you know, the all the accolades for his newest roles, as deserved. I mean, come on. I mean, The Mummy, like, I wanted to be like that haircut, that whole, that was, I was like, that is the coolest character I've ever seen in my life. I want to be him. And to get someone who's been predominantly a good guy in most of his, you know, appearances in movies and TV, he's pretty much a good guy, to get him as a villain, I think would have been the treat of a lifetime. To have this super talented and wildly loved actor play a bad guy, that just, ooh-wee. The movie could have been bad, but that alone was worth the price of admission. That's all. That's my biggest issue. My biggest issue is that as Warner Brothers executives, you let this movie go on because you think it's gonna make money, and it doesn't matter all the stuff he did, okay? And then you cancel the Batgirl movie because, quotely, it was not releasable. To which Leslie Grace said this is quote, "The film that I got to see, the scenes that were there were incredible." That was her response to the quotes that it was not releasable. You want to sit there and say that it's because it wasn't good enough to be released. First of all, it was done. You already spent the money. But you let Shazam Fear of the Gods come out. And I can tell you, I watched it. That is an atrocious piece of crap. Like, it makes no sense. Like, quick question, the Daughters of Atlas, why would they have a dragon? Just because it's cool? Which is fine. But that makes no sense. And like, it just was, it's pretty bad from start to finish. That movie came out, Black Adam, which had probably about 2.5 good scenes, really. And the best part of the movie was not the main titular character. It was the Justice Society of America. And this is another problem. Let's take a detour here. This is all about branding for the Black Adam movie. If you would have named the Justice League of America Hunt for Black Adam and had the exact same movie, I think it would have been respected a lot more. That I think it, because the way the best parts of that movie were the Justice Society of America talking with Dr. Fate, Atom Smasher, you know, and all of them talking and their interactions with not only them, each other, the citizens, but Black Adam himself. Same exact movie, just different title, and I think it's definitely accepted much better than it was. Now, to come back to Batgirl, it bothers me to my core that you can sit there and tell us that, oh, it wasn't releasable. You were going to put it on Disney and on HBO Max anyways. You weren't releasing it in theaters. It was going to a streaming service. There's no such thing as unreleasable on a streaming service. Just put it on there. It adds to the collection. What does it matter? Now, I understand. I get the fact that you wrote that off as a tax write-off, which you might need. I don't get me wrong. I understand trying to save money wherever you want. But admit that. If that's the reason, then say that. Oh, it's unreleasable. So was Shazam 2. But you sure as hell released that piece of crap. Because you thought you could make money off of it. It wasn't about the quality. It never has been. But you're sitting there trying to say that it was. Now, possibly moving forward with James Gunn at the helm, maybe it will be about quality. And judging by the characters he selected to be, at the beginning of the universe, he, you know what? It's probably a good idea. He's probably gonna make this pretty well. You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but I trust James Gunn. I mean, he took the Guardians of the Galaxy and made them not only forefront of the Marvel MCU universe, but made them household names that people really care about. They love these characters. No one knew, I mean, obviously not no one, but the majority of just casual fans did not know who Rocket Raccoon was, or Groot, or Gamora, or Nebula, or hell, even Thanos to some of them. But he made them household names. He made them amazing. So I have nothing but faith that he can do that with the DC characters, because the DC characters are not the problem. They never have been. Even in the 80s, when DC wasn't selling comics, they tried to sell all of their characters to Marvel, and the head of Marvel at the time said, no, the reason why they're not selling is because the characters suck. It's not a direct quote, but that's basically the reasoning why they didn't buy DC. It wasn't the characters. It never has been. It's either who's writing them or who's putting them out that decides what is successful and isn't. So, when you have characters like this and movies that are complete and you decide to shelf them because they're not releasable, someone would want to watch that movie. And I think, and I'm going to take a back seat and I'm going to let Brendan Fraser, I'm going to do a quote from Brendan Fraser as to why you should have released it at the bare minimum. This is a quote from Brendan Fraser. The decision is not to release Batgirl reflects our leadership. Oh, sorry. Incorrect. This is the quote as why they are not releasing the Batgirl movie. The decision is not to release Batgirl reflects our leadership strategic shift as it relates to the DC Universe and HBO Max. Leslie Grace is an incredible talented actor, and this decision is not a reflection of her performance. We are incredibly grateful that the filmmakers of Batgirl and Scoob, Holiday Haunt, and their respective casts, and we hope to collaborate with everyone again in the near future. That's what a spokesperson told The Wrap. Sorry that I got that confused. Now, this is what Brendan Fraser had to say. Sorry. Brendan Fraser said this. What I find most lamentable is that now a whole generation of little girls are going to have to wait longer to see a Batgirl and say, hey, she looks like me. Now, Brendan Fraser told this to Variety during an interview, and he continued saying, that makes me sad. I know how good Leslie Grace was, and I know what this would mean to so many people. Once again, Brendan Fraser showing why he is a national treasure and should be protected at all costs. Brendan Fraser is right. And DC, Warner Brothers, where the hell you are, this Discover, you're wrong. You were wrong to cancel the Batgirl film. and then going forward with the Flash. If you wanted to cancel Batgirl, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I get that. But then to still have Ezra Miller as your Flash and talking about, oh, his performance is going to be so good that they're going to forget everything he did. I sure as hell didn't. And I'm sure the people that he, you know, did all those horrible things to didn't. And I'm sure people who have gone through similar things like that also haven't forgotten it. And the fact that that doesn't seem to matter at all is very fucking telling. It's very telling. Because you know what? My issue isn't that you released it. My issue isn't even that you canceled the Batgirl movie. My issue is that you are misrepresenting why you did both things. Because it's basically like, we're not going to rob everyone of the Flash movie because it's so good. But we are going to rob you of the Batgirl and Brendan Fraser as a villain because it's unreleasable. I have a hard time believing that if the direct quote from your representative, your spokesperson, said that Leslie Grace is an incredible, talented actor and the decision does not reflect her performance, well, I'm going to go on a fucking limb here and say that it also wasn't Brendan Fraser's performance or Michael Keaton's or J.K. Simmons. So whose fault was it? If it's unreleasable, whose fault was it then? Is it maybe the fact you gave them $90 million to shoot a superhero movie? A comic book movie? Could that be the issue? Maybe. Maybe. Could it be the direction that you were going at the time with the DC Universe? Maybe. Probably. But if it wasn't the actors, it wasn't everyone involved, then how is it unreleasable? If you would have came out like, you know, just be honest. You wanted to cut that 90 mil. You needed that tax write-off. That's understandable. Look, inflation is everywhere. Everything costs more money now. So yeah, that 90 mil probably came in real, real, real nice, right? You know what I mean? That probably, you know, came at the perfect time, right? When you needed it the most. Fair enough. But say that. Say like, man, you know, we're sorry. We have made a business decision to not release the background movie. We're doing it for a tax write-off. We are sorry to any the future the anyone this might affect when it comes to the actors, the cast, the crew, and any fans that may have been excited to see it. We are sorry. I'm not sitting here doing this episode right now if that was the case. And again, it's your properties, your money. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it. Obviously, a little content creator who will probably get 5 views on this video, obviously my opinion doesn't mean jack shit to you. I understand that. You probably never even see this. But I'm still going to say it. Because it's wrong. It's wrong that Ezra gets to walk the red carpet after all the things he did and get his movie released when Leslie Grace, Brendan Fraser, and all the rest of the crew who probably wouldn't even have got that big a red carpet deal because it was going to HBO Max in the first place, was just robbed of all of that. We were robbed of what that could have been. If it was bad, it's bad. Okay, but you got no problem with the Batwoman movie TV show? That's good? I mean, come on. What are we talking about here? It was never about the releasability or the quality of the content. Just like it isn't, it is irrelevant what Ezra did because you think you can make money off it. Well, so far, $60 million opening weekend for a Michael Keaton led Flash movie. It's not looking too good. It's not looking too good. And I hope you see. Hope you see it and understand what's going on. Because at this point, people are not just going to support it because it's one of their favorite characters. If you give them a good enough reason to not see it, they're not going to see it just because. You can come out and say it's not going to make it to HBO Max until 2025. Guess what? I'll wait till 2025. And probably even longer. Like I said, I haven't watched the Avatar sequel and it's been on for weeks. I haven't even, like, thought about it. I see him, like, nope, and just keep scrolling. I would rather rewatch Big Bang Theory for the 10 billionth time than to sit through that Avatar movie. It just, that's my personal opinion. I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm not. I just don't like it. It does nothing for me. So, I had, you know, initially, because, like, this story for the Flash, it's not exactly, but it's kind of, you know, like Flashpoint. I mean, they it was inspired by Flashpoint. It's definitely not Flashpoint, but and probably maybe that's the listen. If they would have done a true Flashpoint, they may have got me. I may have thrown my morals and my beliefs out the window, like a seeming to be the trend. Oh, it's Flash. I'm going to go watch it for Keaton. Okay. Have fun. I won't be. And again, I am, for lack of a better term, it has become abundantly clear to me as of late where I stand in the pecking order among whatever, the universe or whatever. So I have no delusions of grandeur that me saying this is going to get any type of traction or provide any type of change or anything like that. But I still feel this is what I have to do. And I believe that, unfortunately, somewhere along the lines, everything got lost. Like, when you're looking at these two films, one that went through and one that didn't, what's more important? A Batgirl movie that could potentially give young girls all over the world a sense of belonging, especially, you know, any minority women as well, or the Flash movie that really doesn't matter because they're resetting the whole universe, who at the center of it is led by a monster. I believe the answer is clear. I can't support the Flash movie because of the cancellation of the Batgirl. Morality is gone, and it's clearly just about what you think you can make money off of. You knew you were putting Batgirl on HBO Max and it wasn't going to be a cash grab anyways, so you said, fuck it, I'll take the $90 million tax write-off. Which is fair. But to lie about the reasoning why it was canceled is a punk-ass bitch move. And I guess that's my piece on that. That's all I have for this week's episode in regards to the Batgirl and the Flash. If anyone listens to this, I appreciate you. Thank you very much for stopping by. It means a lot to me. The few views that I do get, it actually means a lot. And moving forward, there's going to be a change in how I do things moving forward. We're going to get back to the breakdowns and stuff like that. We're going to do, I'm going to start doing rankings as well. I am 5 episodes in on my season 1 Community ranking. So it'll be the best episode ranking list, not my favorite or the most entertaining, but in terms of quality. So it'll be the rankings. We're going to do that. I'm going to start ranking, you know, stuff like the Creed movies, things like that. I'm going to do a lot more gaming, and I'm trying to get back to showing you all the great things that I enjoy about my multi-fandoms instead of trying to prioritize selling comic books. I'm going to start doing what I love again. And I hope everyone who might feel betrayed or whatever that I'm not, you know, 100% selling all the time now, I hope anyone who might feel some type of way about that understands that it's a personal decision for me. I'm not saying I'm going to stop selling. Of course, I have my exclusives that are available. World Tree, number one, Alan Kwa, limited to 333. Yeah, that's not going to work. I'll put it on the screen when I do the edits. The Alan Kwa. Actually, wait a minute. I can do it right here. I forgot I had this ability. Hold on. Yeah, so we have Alan Kwa, World Tree, number one, which is the new James Tynion title. His new horror title, which you see right here on the screen. That is the World Tree, number one, Alan Kwa, limited to 333, Virgin Shared Exclusive. That is available on my Shopify. Then we also have another great book. If you're not already reading Good Boy, I really suggest that you do. It's a fantastic series. They just released the omnibus for the first 3 volumes, and I'm super excited about this. But this is my... Oop, that's really huge. That's what she said. This is my Virgin Ivan Tao exclusive for Good Boy Volume 3, Number 1, which is a key in the series. It is available through me directly through DMs. It's available, you know, pretty much anywhere you can find me. and this is, like I said, Ivan Tao. We have Metal, Virgin, and Chromium. The Metal are limited to 60, the Chromium are limited to 100, and the Virgin's limited to 250. The prices range, but they're just, I'll put the link down below. Yeah, I really hope that everyone who made it this far into the video is happy that they're here and will decide to maybe follow for more. I do multi-fandom content, anything I think is cool, I'll talk about. So until next time, this is Nerd Tween signing off. Take it easy, everyone.